Welcome back to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio. I'm Brittany Sheets, and I'm here with Angela Bachman.
Great to be here with you, Brittany, and thank you to the International Brotherhood of Teamsters and the PA AFL-CIO for supporting the show.
And guys, don't forget, check us out online, www.theunionedge.com. We've got Facebook, we've got Twitter, we've got podcasts. If you've ever missed a show, you can always catch up on our website or on SoundCloud. We've got all kinds of ways for you to catch us, so there's no reason you shouldn't be tuning in.
Absolutely. And joining us right now, we've got Buck Gino from Work in Progress Radio. Welcome back, Buck.
It's always great to be with you, ladies. It's a pleasure.
Always great to have you, Buck. So what would you like to talk about today? I know we were talking
about
kitty cats.
Well, there's all kinds of things going on, right?
There is a lot going on. There's always a lot going on, though.
Yeah. Well, I guess what I wanted to just, I was listening to your program, enjoying it very much, and I was listening to your last guest talk about the proposal, so to speak, in the tax plan. And, you know, at my age, I've been, shall we say, a victim of tax cuts my whole life. And what happens is that, you know, and I know, I think it was Angela asked the question about or one of you asked the question about the mortgages and things like that, but also the bottom tax rate. Well, you know, when you raise taxes on the bottom end, and I don't care whether they say it's 10 or 15 or 12 or 15%, it still is a tax increase. And the one that they really don't talk about too much is that, you know, right now when you fill out your income tax, your state taxes, which is substantial in a lot of states and to a lot of workers, that's an automatic write-off for you. That's going away. So when they tell you that they're going to, what they do is, it's almost like in a store where they mark things up to sell them low or whatever. Here they're doing kind of the same thing. They're kind of enticing you with all these supposed things that's going to be better for you, but in the end, you're going to get a tax increase. And so,
sorry, Buck, can you clarify? I don't really understand what you mean about the state taxes.
Well, see, right now, when you pay state tax, and you just like you pay federal tax.
Right.
Your state tax and your local tax, if you pay tax in the city of Pittsburgh, that is deductible on your federal income tax. Say you pay $6,000 in state tax.
Okay.
That's an automatic write-off off your federal tax. That's going away.
Oh.
That's one of the things that's going away.
Lot.
Your deduction, because it's similar to the same thing you asked about the mortgage. That's a deduction off of your taxes.
Right.
I think the gentleman said it was up to $1 million.
Yeah.
But
these deductions are what makes it so complicated and difficult to understand.
Yes.
So I can, on one hand, I understand why some are like, let's simplify this.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to do that smartly, and that seems to be very difficult to get people to agree on. I also just wanted to clarify real quick what they're saying now, and of course, obviously, this will change because everything
mm-hmm.
changes,
mm-hmm.
is that if you currently pay 15%, you will pay 12%, and if you currently pay 12% or less, you will pay 0%. So that's at least on its face. Now, again, like you said, with the loss of deductions for state taxes and whatever other weird loopholes they throw in, that might not end up being the case, but that's what
right.
they're saying now.
Right. Exactly.
My thing of it was, I'm curious to know, how is this going to better, I guess, balance their budget? Like, how are they going to... I guess I want to see the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see some numbers like run through this from some budget people of going, hypothetically, you know, like we pull in this much in taxes a year based on the current tax structure.
It's not going to be a moneymaker. And their theory is that the increased growth that will come of this, you know, all of a sudden skies are going to open up and employers are going to put on millions of more people. There's going to be all kinds of money made, and that's going to basically pay for it. Well,
it's nice that they have dreams, too.
Yeah, we tried that a while back. It was probably before your latest times. It was during the Reagan years. They called it trickle-down economics.
Right. Well, see, the thing is, if you think that you're going to make up your tax base by promoting economic growth, but then you don't tax the corporations or you're lowering the taxes so much that you
mm-hmm.
don't actually get anything back from it,
mm-hmm.
Excuse me, you still don't have any tax money.
Yeah, and if you just loophole made the taxes for lower-income individuals more expensive, then and you're not raising wages, and you're not adjusting for cost of living, and you're not
right.
compensating for these things, you are just further pigeonholing these people.
Yeah, just and you think of and you mentioned that 10%. Well, 10% of say 50,000 is not so much, but if you take 10% of 50 billion, what do you got there? I mean,
right. And the rich people are getting the biggest tax cut. That's already been.
Because that's all, that, and that was my whole outline to start, is that's the way it's always been. The Republicans are very good at making sure that they're going to give the rich people and or affluent people a tax mm-hmm. cut. And they've always done it, and that's their favorite little thing to do.
Right. Well, what I'm most interested in, actually, is what they haven't figured out yet, and they need to start figuring this out quick, and mm-hmm. that is what was he calling it? Basically, the self-employed tax, essentially, mm-hmm. is what it's getting at. You know, it's if you have a business that is not a corporation.
Right.
And so you know that a huge percentage of those are just self-employed people. Of course, there are some people with small businesses, but this is becoming a bigger and bigger section of our economy, and not just for the purposes of this moment, we have to figure out our taxes, but they really need to start thinking about this for the long term, because that's not going to stop. And there are other things, I guess, they're mostly services that the Republicans don't care about, like Social Security, but these need to be taken into consideration, and we need to adjust our economic situations and our tax code for the future of the way we work in America. So I'm really interested to see where they go with this. I don't think that they will have the foresight to think about that, but maybe if they would consult some economic experts.
You misunderstand something, Angela. You're talking sense.
It's funny. So I was out last night, of course, waiting for the new Super Nintendo. Mm-hmm. I'll admit that one, guys. But it was funny. This conversation is making me think of the conversation I was overhearing last night. And it was this guy who was just kind of just laying it out. And he's like, I'm not an economic expert. I didn't go to school for this. I'm not a genius. But you know what? It doesn't take a genius to figure out that this government, if it makes sense, they're not going to do it.
Well, and the thing of it is that you look back in history and you see the Republican agenda, let's put it that way. They believe in, you see it going on now with the big raise in what they're going to give the military. And then the cuts they're going to make in education and the cuts they're going to make in social programs. That's what they do. They basically spend the money and they start hacking on the social programs or the I call them earned benefits. They're not entitlements in my book. And so I think what's good about this is that because of what's happened in the healthcare issue and so many people were paying attention, I think that more people are paying attention to things like these tax cuts and things like that, which is a good thing. In years past, they've been able to kind of, do it like in the dark of night. And mm-hmm. nobody really paid attention to it. But I think now with what we, all the problems that we have, say, coming out of the White House, what I call self-inflicted wounds, it mm-hmm. won't stop. It's just caused people to pay more attention to every little thing.
I agree, and I find it interesting that so many people were, they want this change, but now that they're trying to make these huge upheaving changes, uh-huh. these people are, specifically the healthcare is where I'm really seeing it, people are starting to come around and go, whoa, 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 wait a minute. I might have not liked this quote-unquote Obamacare, but at the same time, whenever they talk about taking the Affordable Care Act away and replacing it with what they've repeatedly been proposing in its very different iterations, people are starting to come out and actually switch sides on this. I wish I knew who did the poll, but someone did like a national poll recently on, what are your opinions of the Affordable Care Act? And it was like 70 or 75% of Americans are supportive of the Affordable Care Act and don't want it repealed at this point.
Right.
It was like some ridiculously huge number. And I was like, that right there is the sign that people are not understanding. Like, they're not voting for their own rights at this point. They're voting against their best interests in this last election, as we're mm-hmm. now very clearly seeing. I mean, a lot of us already knew this. But
right.
I think a lot of people who didn't understand that before are now seeing it because they are in danger of losing something that is very important and crucial to their daily life.
Exactly.
So that being said, I think that was a good example of finally some people starting to get a wake-up call and realize, oh, wait a minute, this is bad. This is really bad, which is going to work well in our favor for this tax reform because of they're already hyper aware of things that they weren't necessarily aware of before. Mm-hmm. So if they see more sweeping changes come their way in some ridiculous bills, though this is a very, you know, wonky, saturated bill to kind of understand, I'm hoping that people will maybe give it a second glance and maybe go, oh, wait a minute, this doesn't sound right.
Yeah, and yeah. Like I said, it will be interesting to see what the final outcome comes of it, because like I said, I gotta tell you the truth. I want to sound like a downer, but I don't remember ever having a tax cut there, and that speaks for the Democrats too.
And that's a good point
it's
to
just
make.
That, you know what you learn, I think, sometimes is that it's real easy to see. When you start to pay attention, what each party stands for.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said before, the Republicans seem to stand for, you know, building up the military, and doing things that way, and then cutting social programs. And sometimes the Democrats are, what they do sometimes is they get into the power and they sit around and fidget their fingers and decide what they're going to do and try to decide and make everybody happy and end up really not accomplishing much at all either.
That's a good point.
So, we got to take a quick break, though, Buckle. Let's come back to this issue. You're listening to the Union Edge Labor's Talk Radio.
This week, the Affordable Care Act survived another repeal effort in Congress, but behind the scenes, the federal government is making major cuts to its funding. The Department of Health and Human Services has slashed the ACA's advertising budget and significantly reduced the grant funds for groups that assist people in signing up for health care, known as navigators. Melissa McChesney, a Houston-based consultant for the Center for Public Policy Priorities, says the Trump administration is trying to fulfill the president's claim that Obamacare is failing.
That will effectively undermine the ability for people to be able to know that the law is still in place and that coverage is still available, and therefore we're likely to see a reduction in enrollment.
The White House cut the ACA's advertising budget from $100 million to $10 million. According to McChesney, that will effectively eliminate most mass media advertising. She adds that because of recent unsuccessful attempts in Congress to repeal Obamacare, some people aren't sure the program still exists. She says cuts to the community-based Navigator program will also make it harder to help working families and the uninsured find coverage.
Texas received a 35% cut overall, so we went from about 9 million to about 6 million. Some of the groups in Texas saw cuts well above that number.
McChesney says in Texas, the program is based in most major cities and in the Rio Grande Valley.
A lot of the Navigators, all of their staff were bilingual or multilingual, and were able to provide that assistance in the native language of the consumer. So you'll see those Navigator cuts really hitting your more vulnerable population.
She says the government has also cut in half the amount of time it allows people to sign up for health care. Open enrollment runs only from November 1st to December 15th for policies that start in January 2018. For Texas News Service, I'm Mark Richardson.
While college and university tuitions go up and up, higher education administrators have been spending less on students' education. Today, only a quarter of higher ed faculty has secure full-time jobs. The rest are so-called adjunct faculty, hired on a per-course temporary basis, often with no benefits, and are paid just $2,700 on average per course. Dedicated adjunct faculty across the country are joining together and fighting back in defense of their students' future. In Pittsburgh, they have formed the Adjunct Faculty Association, affiliated with United Steelworkers Union. Adjuncts and students all over the city are joining the AFA to achieve the goal of providing high-quality, affordable higher education. To know more or to support Pittsburgh's adjunct faculty, give us a call at 412-562-6967 or find us on the web at usw.org. Again, that's 412-562-6967 or usw.org. Together, we can take higher education back.
Allison is perfect. I mean, she'd never tell you that. She's humble and perfect. She likes everyone. She even likes her untidy roommate's weird guinea pig. Allison, wait, are you texting and driving? Allison, no. That's the exact opposite of what I was just saying about you. Why, Allison, why? Texting and driving makes good people look bad. Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
I wasn't prepared to be a caregiver to mom. I had no idea how hard it would be and what I would need to know. Things I never thought of, like how to improve her mood and ways for me to stay positive. Luckily, I found the Caregiving Resource Center from AARP. It had articles about the basics, but also information about the hurdles I was facing. Caregiving Resource Center at aarp.org/caregiving. Articles, tips, and tools to help you both care for your loved one and care for yourself. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Union Edge, Labor's Talk Radio. I'm Brittany Sheets, and I'm here with Angela Bachman today.
Always lovely to be here with you, Brittany, and thank you to IBEW Local 5 and the United Mine Workers for supporting the show.
And don't forget, guys, check us out online. If you miss a podcast, come catch up on our website, www.theunionedge.com. You can check us out on iTunes. You can check us out on Stitcher, SoundCloud. We've got all kinds of places where we like to upload our content, so don't miss a thing. And don't forget, guys, we were on the line with Buck Gino of Work in Progress Radio. We have Buck back. Welcome back, Buck.
It's good to be with you. It's a pleasure. I was trying to figure out what SoundCloud is.
Oh, SoundCloud is another podcast service. It's actually mostly music. A lot of musicians use it.
Okay.
But anyone can upload their own content, and it's a little bit of a social network, too.
Okay.
We have a few followers who listen to us mostly on SoundCloud. And I like it. I think it's a great platform. I use it sometimes at home just for music and things.
Okay. I'll give it a shot.
Yeah.
We can help you, Buck. Okay. And I wanted to give a disclaimer before we took the break. I was just picking on my Democratic friends a little bit. You know, I really know who's for us and who's against us. But sometimes as we sit out there as just working people, you know, after being kicked around for so long, you kind of get in a hurry to get things right.
I think that we need to hold the Democrats accountable, too, and I think that some of them have their own special interests as well, and just because you have a D after your name doesn't mean I'm going to support you if you don't support me.
That's right.
Yeah, exactly. I'm a full advocate of, you know, hold everyone's feet to the fire.
That's right. You know, and like I said, you know, and there is some good news, though. I mean, I wanted to bring this up for sure. In the last couple of weeks, I've been talking about some of the things that have been happening in Detroit. And like I see now, the latest thing to come out now is that they're breaking ground today, I believe, or Thursday. They broke ground yesterday on a $7 million housing development for homeless veterans.
Really?
In the city's north end. And so, you know, those types of things, those types of projects are positives for the city of Detroit. And like I said, with no help from, I believe, or not visible help so much from the state legislators and themselves, they're doing a great job bringing that city back.
That's fantastic. So who's organizing this?
It's done through a development firm. They're
okay.
Basically going to build the place, and, you know, that's what they do, and then they sort of lease it to the city, I believe.
But, okay, and they're going to use it for disabled veterans?
Disabled, it's going to be a homeless veterans.
Okay.
Homeless veterans.
That's awesome. I'm definitely going to have to look into that. We would love to talk to them about that because that's a really cool cause. We're definitely big advocates of veterans causes down here.
I'll send you ladies the link.
Yeah.
It just came up on my screen here, and I'll send it to you.
But I think that'll be great for
yeah.
That'll be really great for that area because they've been trying so hard for so many years to try and rebuild themselves and come back. And
yeah.
Something like that not only sheds a positive light on Detroit, but at the same time, it'll bring new individuals and hopefully some new families and some new life into there. And by specifically helping someone who's homeless, giving them a place to live is something that can completely change their spirits and kind of just, you know, help them feel better about themselves to feel better about life.
Yes. So, you know, but I do want to bring up one thing that's not so good.
You should have saved the nice thing for the end, Buck.
Everybody to pay attention, you know. The Supreme Court, you know, they're getting close to their new term, and they're getting ready to hear the challenge again to unions. You know, they're going to come back, I believe, or they talked about Thursday. They talked about this issue of being able to collect union dues from employees for collective bargaining. You know, this has been going on for years. It's a 40-year-old court ruling that allows public sector unions to collect fees from non-members to cover the cost of negotiating contracts for all employees. So, you know, I guess where we're at here is it okay for someone to be part of an organization or get benefits that the organization gets. Say you collectively bargain for a wage and someone's not a member, should they be able to get that benefit without paying dues?
No.
Yeah.
This is just a simple answer. No.
Should you be for should the government force you to do things for someone else for free? No.
No. You don't work for free. Your time is not free. I mean, if you don't donate it to a cause, then congratulations. I hope it's a worthy cause and great for you. There's many people who do that. I've done that. There are definitely worthy causes out there. But at the same time, you don't go to an attorney and have them go fight a court case for you for free. They're going to charge you for it. Like, you don't have AAA and say, hey, my car's broke down. Can I have, like, a tow? And, oh, yeah, by the way, I'm not a member of AAA and I don't pay for your service. No, they're not going to come, like, tow your car. I mean, seriously, like, get a grip. This is like life. You don't get things for free. I mean, there's a serious free rider problem as this will create, but at the same time, you don't just get stuff for free because you want to. And your employers don't just give you these benefits because they like you. I mean, some of them, I'm not saying that's all employers. There are some very awesome employers out there. I will stipulate to that. But at the same time, there are also many not so nice ones out there who don't want to give you overtime pay, who don't want to give you bathroom breaks, who don't want to give you meal periods. They just don't. They would work you 16 hours a day, 20 hours a day if they could, 7 days a week.
And the thing about this was they had a case like this last year. They heard a case, what they call it, was a free speech challenge from a worker who objected to paying money to unions that they supposedly don't support. But that ended up in a 4-4 tie. Now we have Justice Neil Gorsuch. So now we'll get to see where the rubber meets the road with this new appointee. And his feelings toward workers, because, like I said, I'm not really optimistic at this point.
Unfortunately, I don't necessarily feel like this will go in our favor, being as he is going to be kind of the hypothetical deciding vote, unless he's all of a sudden, you know, has some hidden closet decision that we're not going to see come in, come out. I don't know how well this is going
Stranger
to go.
Stranger things have happened.
Stranger things have happened.
That's right.
That
know,
is true.
We'll remember the healthcare battle, the Obamacare battle, with this, you know, how it was when it first had that big challenge, and it came down on the other in our favor. So we can have things turn out right if.